Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Kicking off another set of music here inside the toolbox. Remember today on the Drive at 5, we got an hour commercial-free, also commuter comedy. We're going to feature a comedian named Jeff Cesario. He'll be at Farty McPants this weekend. I'll have some tickets for you after 5 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, coming up this weekend at Ray's RVs, the big weekend blowout sale. And while you're there, meet our morning host, Autumn, from the Autumn and the Dude Show. Weekday mornings here, 6 to 10 in the toolbox. She'll have your tickets to the biggest monster truck tour coming your way. That's right, Bigfoot's going to be there, my friends, and we got your tickets. I'll tell you what, only miss this one if you're dead or in jail. And if you're in jail, break out. Digging into one from the Eye in the Sky record from the Alan Parsons Project. A lot of people don't know how the Alan Parsons Project got their name. I'm going to tell you right now. It actually came from British Sensibility, believe it or not. Some of the suits were walking around the Abbey Road recording studios. And they would say, right, well, what's going on with that Alan Parsons Project? And the rest is rock and roll history, my friends. Kind of feels like the Lakers should be taking the floor right now. Or the Chicago Bulls. This one's called Serious. And we're going to get serious, remember, this weekend. At Ray's RVs, the big weekend blowout sale. Remember, check out Autumn there from Autumn and the Dude. She will have your biggest monster truck tour tickets with her. And I mean, as I always say, if you got to be a season, why not be Autumn? Autumn and the Dude, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. Now I ask you, my friends, lend me your ears, because this guy's got your eyes. The title track from Eye in the Sky, this is the Alan Parsons Project, right here in the toolbox.
Don't think sorry's easily said. Don't try turning tables instead. You've taken lots of chances before, but I'm gonna give up.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today from YouTube's The Rubin Report. Dave Rubin with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, RJ Bell with RJ's Parlay, and Jeff Cesario brings the sports with Chet Waterhouse. And now, he found his thrill on Blueberry Hill. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share the good news with everybody. That's our favorite. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Don't be a douche.
Jeff Cesario here.
Hello.
Chet Waterhouse. We're all big fans. And Dawson, everybody.
Oh, crushed it.
Crushed it. I was looking for something long, and I was looking for something familiar, and then I realized, wait a minute, Alan Parsons got that whole big run-up to Eye in the Sky, which Dawson tells me is a different song.
Yeah, the first song is called Serious. That's the instrumental part.
But when you listen to the album version of it, I guess it just rolls right through.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
So there you go.
When he does it live with the Alan Parsons Live Project, they're still touring. They do that totally live. It's beautiful. It's awesome.
I thought, you know, nobody knows Alan Parsons better than Dawson, and that's 2 minutes of ramp up. So we got that. Now, thoughts on things. I'm going later on today to the Dodger game with my son. As I told you, young Jimmy Kimmel gave us a couple of tickets, and that was very sweet of him. I did have this kind of puss out thought because it's so goddamn hot in SoCal. I thought, the luxury box, which I'm not a massive fan of, because you usually end up with your back turned to the field, watching the monitor above the bar toward the back wall, and just eating the same stuff that's not quite as good because you didn't walk it over to your seat or a guy didn't throw it at you. I don't know why food gets better. I don't think au gratin potatoes get better when people throw them.
No.
But somehow dogs and bags of peanuts and all sorts of stuff is so much better when it's either. I would like, you know what I'd like to do? I'm starting a new food chain. It's a new food chain called Pass It Down. Right, and the idea is the food is no better than your Golden Corral. It's no better than TGI Fried. It's no better than anything, but a stranger hands it to you.
Right.
You all sit in an aisle.
It's just railroad seating.
You order it, and people hand it down to you.
On Good Sports,
what I mean?
If you guys can manage to not talk about sports for 2 seconds, you guys should talk about the best and worst foods to be tossed by an usher.
I just...
Pineapple upside down cake.
Obviously,
soup. Banana pudding.
Cowboy stew. So that is, it's a beanless chili.
Cereal.
Probably the worst. But so I also, can we do this in the chili department? Tell me if you guys are with me. You know, and you guys around the country probably know what I'm talking about, but we have chili, which is like beans and chunks of beef and chunks of stuff, kind of chili. And then there's the chili that you get from the Tommy's Burgers or the Carney's Hot Dogs or whatever. And this stuff has been pushed through a gym sock. It is liquid chili. Like, it goes in the same way it comes out. But for some reason...
It's the chili version of nacho cheese.
Yeah. For some reason, for chili fries... It's perfect. And a chili dog, it's perfect. A chili dog is no good with the big beans floating around on the chunks of chili. So something they do when they liquefy this chili, it would never work if you showed up with a pot of Tommy's chili at a chili cook-off said, here's my entrance.
Get
You'd
out.
Be beaten with a spatula.
They would go, that's nice mild sauce for some of the Texas toast.
And it's all wrong. I mean, the texture's all wrong there.
It's congealed.
But if you're... it's not even congealed. It's just, it's a liquid chili that is way too fine a strainer. But when you're making chili dogs, and I make the announcement, which I do once a month with my son, we're having a hot dog party at home, which sounds very homoerotic, and God willing, one day it'll morph into that. But I'm tilling the soil with legitimate hot dog parties where you go out and you get the Nathan's hot dogs from the deli, whatever.
There.
And
tilling
the
soil.
You get the chopped up onion, all that kind of stuff. You can't find the chili at the store. You can't find a can of that kind of chili.
It's
just chili with beans and stuff. And you can go, I'll get the beanless chili, but it's still not that kind of chili.
No.
And considering people like chili dogs a lot, and they sell... the chopped up onion, the grated up cheddar cheese, the buns, the dogs, all of the accoutrements. Why not chili dog chili at this store?
You know, I think where you can get the closest to that, Chili John's in Burbank. Not great on its own, but a great topper.
But the whole key is I want to go to Pavilions or Ralph's and walk out with a bag of everything I need for my hot dog party, including water-soluble lube. Yes, Gary.
There's a Hormel, I believe. It makes a no-bean one.
We got it. That's what we got, but it's still not
right.
Right. It's not that chilly.
Not that chilly.
So it was a conscious effort on somebody's part at the hot dog place, Carnax or whatever.
Carnax. Takes the envelope out, he holds it.
Loose stool. I don't know. So somebody, and I'm going to guess Manuel, somebody in the kitchen went, it's rice too thick. We tried to put on
hot days.
Too thick.
Yeah.
Let me strain this for you.
I rarely speak out against beans.
Yes, yes.
But
I rarely.
Oh, Santa Maria, my grandmother would be rolling over in a grave if she could hear me.
But I just have a hunch thinner would be better on
it's
the fries.
It's just better, man. You pour it on the fries and it makes its way to the bottom.
I tell you what, let's try it 2 weeks on Sunset. We'll see if it goes.
It's the greatest math you'll ever do, is chili fry math. When you're poking at it, you get the fork at it and you go, this one is completely emulsified with chili because it's at the bottom and it drank up everything.
Yeah.
I got a dry newbie at top. I'll put them both in my mouth at the same time.
That pile of fries with the chili on top, that's the anti-Jenga because you're doing your best to make it all fall to the bottom. You want to ride those things out as fast as possible.
So, I don't know, but tell Matt, remind me, I bet you can go online somewhere and just buy a couple of cans.
I would think.
Of this stuff. But if any smart chili dog entrepreneurs listening, make it up and put it at the store, man, because people like those chili dogs.
Yeah, call it That Chili. That's right. Yeah. That Chili.
That All chili. Right. Yeah, it's That Chili. You can't find it anywhere else, and it wouldn't win any competitions. Yes, Gina.
You know, Brian, I was thinking about you earlier. Because we got the news that Fats Domino passed away, and my initial thought was that's very sad. My second thought was, wow, this is a perfect entry up until yesterday of Brian's They're Still Alive?
Yeah, he was on the roster for the Wow, They're Still Alive All-Star team.
Yeah.
He didn't crack the starting five, but he was on the roster.
Yeah,
he was
contributing. About that
immediately. He was a sixth man off the bench.
Here's what I've found about black musicians. If we don't get you by your 45th birthday, you go to 110.
Yeah.
You go to 110.
Yeah.
It's not like he died. How old is he? 72.
If it's not,
we got to get you Jimi Hendrix.
Tragic
or you're
genius.
Going to Little Richard.
Right. Right. Little Richard right now is nodding.
If you are a black musician and you've made it to 55, start smoking, start slamming heroin. It doesn't matter. You're
blind
going.
Willie Dixon. Yeah.
So like when a player goes down with an injury, it opens up an opportunity for another player.
Right.
You know, this opens up a big opportunity for it to get some minutes on the All Star team.
I got one.
Chubby Checker.
Oh, Chubby Checker.
Wow.
Chubby Checker's getting logging some minutes on this team.
Now, maybe I'm crazy here. I'm going black and I'm going the other direction.
Okay.
Todd Bridges.
Oh.
Wow.
The TV actor?
Yeah.
Willis.
Yeah. What you talking about, Brian?
I couldn't definitively tell you if he was alive
or not. It's a weird one because you go, wait a minute. Did he die? Maybe he died around when Corey died.
He had some hard years.
But no, wait. His sister died.
He was the black Corey of the Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, Todd Bridges.
I have a racist question. Was he not dating Ann Coulter?
No, that's J.J. Walker, Brian.
Black simile.
Wow.
Come on, that's racist.
100% legitimate question.
It is not nearly 10% legitimate. That's the most racist you've ever been, and I like racists. So we don't know. Any of us don't know if Todd Bridges is alive. Now, if he is alive, he's 52. Like, he's not an old dude.
Was he on rehab with Drew?
He's had some rehab issues. He's been in and out a little, like, trouble. Other folks have died from his cast. What's her name? Dana Plato.
Died. Conaway. Minnie McCready.
And
that era of celebrity rehab.
Yes. And also,
we get it. You watch reality TV.
Arnold died as well, I think, right?
Yeah.
He, like, fell down some stairs or something.
Well, he was a security guard at a mall.
All right. So is Todd Bridges alive?
He's sort of a professor emeritus at some of the rehab places because he's been
in
and out. Yeah, he's tenured, right?
I think this is a pretty damn good one because no one seems to know.
And is this sort of in the F
he's
Google
alive.
Range?
Sherry says he's alive.
All right.
It opens up a spot for him on the team.
August,
you want to know who's currently?
You're right, 52 years of age.
Wow.
Right. Ooh, I know my Todd Bridges. Yeah, go ahead.
Currently on the starting five after Jake LaMotta passed, by the way. He was on the All-Star team, too. It is Henry Kissinger, still alive.
Wow.
Doris Day, somehow still alive.
God, love her.
Wow.
Kim Novak from Vertigo, somehow still alive. Sidney Poitier and Sirhan still breathes.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Sidney Poitier still alive?
That's so racist, Gina.
No, that's heartwarming. I had no idea.
See, hence why he's on the team.
Robert Guillaume sadly taken off.
Yeah, Robert Guillaume passed away.
All right. So, a couple things I have to address. One is, so with the fact I'm excited to go to the Dodger game, and like I said, normally it's fun to sit out in the seats, but I but it's oppressively hot. They're literally setting records out here in Los Angeles how hot it is.
I'm sorry. Are you in a box or are you in the seats?
We're in the seats, which is in the sun. And you can't bring an umbrella because it's in bad form. I had this conversation with Matt, the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, and the Seeker of Pleasure as well. Enjoy I said, who do you think is more miserable in the heat, you or I? And he said, well, I hate heat. And I said, I hate heat, too. And
but then, your misery index is just at a resting higher level than Matt's.
He said, I'm a big fella, and I'm affected by it a little more than you. He's also the enjoyer of winter as part of his title. But I said to him, it's true. We may be tied now as adults walking from one shop to the other in terms of who's more miserable about this heat. But understand, I was repeatedly and brutally raped by heat for my entire childhood. And thus, you didn't experience that. So I win. I'm grandfathered in because...
So you're being re-traumatized.
Two-a-day football practices in San Fernando Valley, living in garages, in attics, up in
A-frame houses. So it's Weinstein, Toback, the sun. That's where we're going.
I have Weinstein, the sun, Toback. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, speaking of that, speaking of Weinstein, I was...
throw out the first pitch tonight.
that'd be great. Well, you know what'd be great? What'd be great is if somebody just went, listen, we schedule this stuff before the season. And we just don't have a modality for switching things up.
Yeah. He was Magic Johnson's 100 feet away in the VIP.
Nobody condones what he did, but these schedules are made. They're locked off. We had hired a town car.
We printed up the banners.
Like, it's
and
done.
Quite frankly, he can bring the heat.
He can bring the heat. That's right.
He throws it straight and hard over the plate.
hold on a second. Speaking of heat, my friend Jeff Katz is on the phone.
Who?
The only Jew to ever play hockey out of North Hollywood. Jeff Katz?
Hey, Ad. How you doing, man?
Hey, good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, you too. Long time. Let me just say, to sound like a nice human being to start, congratulations on your success.
Thank you, man. And same to you. I think you were selling exotic breeds of lumber last time we spoke.
Yeah, so remember, I'm in Utah now.
That's right.
By the way, one of the few Jews in Utah, they imported me in special to meet the quota.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Believe me, they know where you are right now.
I was telling...
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the Mormons love me.
Jeff, I was telling... Dave Damashek that there were two guys I grew up and knew, Dave Sorensen and Jeff Katz, and they played hockey. And I've always said, I'm going to do this with my son because nobody else could afford any of the equipment. Hockey's the only sport where you have to buy every stitch of your own equipment. Yeah. In football, they issue you the pads and stuff like that. Jeff Katz was the best hockey player in the San Fernando Valley because nobody else played hockey. No one had a pad. No one ever saw Jeff play hockey. And thus, de facto, he got to be the greatest hockey player in the Valley. And he'd show up with that huge bag, and no one ever questioned his greatness.
Different penalties for Jewish players, too. It's like, 2 minute minor for passive aggressiveness.
In the oven box.
I had a show yesterday, and that's part of the reason I called. I want you to know, and you're correct on everything, although I did take offense, I think it was Damashek who asked or said, you know, how did they do because of the hockey thing with the ladies? And you said, yeah, Sorensen, great. Katz, not so much. What the hell?
He just thought you should know.
That's all I heard in that whole segment.
Jeff,
that was his takeaway?
I do remember distinctly, like, a Friday night when we were just sitting in my garage bedroom or something doing nothing, and you just looked at me and you went, who'd be attracted to us? And I just went, nobody. And you went, you're right.
Boy, moment of truth.
Listen, if nothing else, when we grew up, I mean, we were self-aware. I mean, we understood what we were.
Jeff, it's true that your dad helped you out with your first lady friend, right?
Oh. Yeah, 13. Yeah, because bar mitzvah. Right before my bar mitzvah.
Wow. His dad got him a lady.
I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Well, it's better, now you're it's a man. Better than a Schwinn, right?
A
Schwing.
Is that a story you're comfortable talking about?
Hope so.
Yeah, what do I care now? I'm 54 years old. What's going to happen?
Your dad also had a pube of yours in his wallet, did he not?
It was... Technically, it was no. It was my first chin hair, but it did look very much like a pew. But he did carry that around.
Now, is that is that back from like the biblical times when they were leaving Egypt? They grabbed a shin hair and stuck it in their purse, or something? What is that?
Between the lumber and the Utah and the hockey and the prostitute, this is all so very definitely not a Jew.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's so he's so un-Jewy.
Yeah, you know, and that's and you know what? Now, just while we're on the subject of the Jews, I gotta say. So I started listening to that because I'm old and I'm having problems with technology. Up until 6 months ago, I couldn't comprehend or understand what a podcast was.
Right.
And then I have a lot of clients or customers, shops, in the wood shops that I've become very good friends with here. And they're huge fans. They listen to your podcast. And I walked in one day and someone was listening and we started talking. I said, oh, no, I grew up with that. And we played football together, North Hollywood High, and they all thought I was full of it. And I said, how do I show me what a podcast is? And so I've been listening for like 6 months, and I really enjoy it. And I, on Twitter, I took a look at everyone, you know, Brian and Gina. And I have to say, although when I first saw him, I said, oh, you know, Gina's a very attractive woman. But when I found out she was Jewish, it like ratched it up 100%.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm right here, Jeff.
Yeah.
Can I say?
Jeff and I went to the first concert I ever went to, which was the Cars.
Oh, nice.
Oh, sure.
Remember going to the Cars?
That's right. That's right.
Went to the Cars. Do you, I somehow remember you were somewhere around my room when somebody took that big patented industrial fan and threw a sack of flour into it.
Yeah, that was me.
Was that you?
Wow.
Yeah, because I think I might have. I know it's a clean show, they told me, but I want to say we urinated or something.
Well, everyone urinated all over my mattress, and then they took a huge sack of gold medal flour, put the fan on high, and threw the sack into the fan in a small room I was living in.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to make a statement, though.
Did you just burn the house down?
When we grew up, this was never my comfort level until Adam and I became close, and then I met Ray and Chris, and we all hung out for a couple of years. Played football together, and they just, not in a mean way, but just there was something about that group that just made someone like me step out of my comfort zone in terms of things that are disgusting that I would have never thought to have done. Like when we broke into the Mulholland Country Club, and it was the first time I ever saw anyone, Chris, put his butt against the jet, suck it in, and then squirt it at people.
All so these stories are being corroborated.
I didn't even know you could do that.
The thing it's not something we'd ever known you could do either. This is why you have to understand where I'm coming from when people are like, "So what happened at the party? He walked up and he started rubbing my thigh," and it's like, "Okay, and then what?" I got up and left. I'm like, "Oh, Ray filled his ass up with jacuzzi jet water and shot it at me." So.
Yeah.
That's a little, would that be? Like, that'd be a three, and what you did was like a four, or where's that at?
And you're still, you're kind of still in horsing around range. Sure. You haven't even crossed over yet.
So people wonder why I have my non-reaction to whatever wasn't, for me, wouldn't have counted as anything.
You're riding on a curve.
Right, right.
I got pushed out of a moving car by my friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got ghost-ridden on the handlebars of a bike. Like, so the guy was chugging down on a cruiser and ghost-rid the bike while I was on the handlebars. I will tell you, a bike will go for a while without a rider. Jeff, is there any stories? Any stories you can think about? Oh. Yeah. Is there anyone that jumps to mind that's bizarre?
Yeah, and I promised, I have a shop out here called Guyman Thomas, and I really like these guys. They do beautiful woodwork. And I was telling them about, I've become like the quasi hanger on or the Adam, because people that now know we grew up together and are fans out here, they always want me to tell them stories about, you know, when we grew up. And I'll sit down, I'll tell them a story, I'll sew them some wood, and I'll get on my way. But I was telling everyone, do you remember what, because you guys named it, not me, do you remember what protruding was in the bathroom?
I think it was extruding, and I'm not sure if you could do that on a clean.
I remember it with a P, protruding, but it could be.
I think it was extruding, and I'm not. It is.
I have a guess.
Yeah,
I don't think it's for a clean show.
I don't think we have to wake Freud on this one. Let's just write it ourselves.
I do remember that one though. That's one of Dr. Drew's favorites. When we do a naughty show, I'll tell you about that. Yeah, big hits, the extrusion. You can read the definition of extruding, Gina Kratz, up there.
Well, it says...
Can I say one thing on it? It's very clean.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give a visual to people that are listening, they have no idea what we're talking about. Just imagine a guy on top of the stalls with an ankle hooked over each partition, and I'll leave it at that.
Oh, God.
It's doable.
Yeah, this says...
sorry, Gina.
No problem. Thrust or force out, and the example is lava was being extruded from the volcano. So force out, thrust out, ejected, expelled, and released.
That's good.
Still not out of the double entendre arena yet.
Hey, Jeff.
I thought you just made up the name, but that makes sense.
Thank you. Hey, Jeff, good luck, and shoot me a tweet. And thanks for calling in. And how good a hockey player were you?
Well, you know, out of high school, I went up to Canada for a year and played.
That's a big deal.
I don't know.
That's good.
I don't know if I was close to pro material, but I was very good. I mean, I will say I was very good. And I remember a long time ago, he gave me a little credit, and I appreciate it for reminding everyone that for a guy that's built like me, I was very quick.
I
played football.
Fast feet. That's right.
Accomplice.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're a Jew. You got to learn how to run and don't get on trains.
Thanks. And not necessarily skate. Jeff Katz. So Jeff was a year older than me. And we had a couple, like I said, we had the Jews from up in the hills, but he had a little more what we call Jew-billy.
In him. The flatlands.
Not the guys that were heading for Cal and Stanford. Little I'd different. Yeah. All right.
He was a little more Stanislaus State.
And that's he said you're the favorite of the lumber shops up there. So you have the only podcast that can compete with a bandsaw. That's impressive.
I'll tell you about Blue Apron, and we'll do a little Chip Waterhouse when we finish up here. Blue Apron, man. This October, Blue Apron celebrating its 5th anniversary by bringing back its top recipes from the past 5 years. You can try them all out. It's the all-time customer favorites. You can go to blueapron.com/Adam. Less than $10 a meal, takes less than 40 minutes, and it is some of the best stuff ever. And like I said, the recipes come in these glossy, color laminated, almost sort of thickness of my buck slip, sort of half pages. And what you do is just throw them in a drawer and collect the ones you like when they're your favorite. Like I like the buffalo chili, the aforementioned chili. I like that one. I don't have Olga whip that baby up every once in a while. Delivery options to fit your needs. No weekly commitment. So you only get the deliveries you want. Super easy. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first meal with free shipping of Blue Apron. .com/Adam. It's really the best. blueapron.com/Adam. quick thought. I realized I have this thought, which is whenever I hear somebody explain that they're blessed, I usually don't want to trade places with them. And if I hear someone interviewed on CNN, like who survived the flood or the tornado or whatever, if they just explain that they're blessed, I usually disagree with them. And just by sometimes their body type.
Is it just the nomenclature of blessed? Like if the same person was like, or the next door neighbor is like, we're extremely fortunate.
I'm trying to think, but I think if you said to me, my son can switch places with somebody who constantly says they're blessed versus someone who constantly says they're snake bit, I'd go with snake bit.
Wow.
I'd assume his income would be higher and he'd drive a nicer car. Like, I don't know why, because I've said I'm blessed twice, but I've said I've snake bit 163,000 times.
I don't know, man. Every famous athlete on Twitter is talking about how blessed they are. Every pop star is like, I'm so blessed. It's like, well, you're gorgeous and 20 years old and you can sing.
Or the worst, too blessed to be stressed.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. Oh, you've heard that.
That's got to stop.
Yep.
All right. You got some news, Chet Waterhouse?
Absolutely.
Or some sports?
I'm ready.
There's the sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Hello again, everybody. Chet Waterhouse with the Waterhouse Sports, brought to you by Knitways Expand-A-Belt Funnel Pants. Pour any belly into a pair of Knitways. South America's pastime, baseball, World Series. We got us a barn burner, and by that I mean the barn at the Griffith Park Zoo actually burned down. So hot in L.A., the bags under Tommy Lasorda's eyes each had their own Gatorade. Game 1, Dodgers thump Houston like a hillbilly hunting prairie dog with a boat oar.
But look out for the Astros like Jimmy Tobeck. They just keep coming at you. Little 5'5" Astros all-star Jose Altuve already signed by a children's modeling agency. Vegas leaning L.A. because they jump on you worse than Trump on a black congresswoman. But my money's on Houston pitcher Justin Verlander, who will throw till his kidneys catch fire trying to impress Kate Upton. That update brought to you by Tiny Bite Two-Bite Apples. Tired of those heavy apples with their slippery skin? Ow, my back! Try Tiny Bite Two-Bite Apples. Only got 4 seconds for lunch? Grab a Tiny Bite. 11 or 12 a day will keep the doctor away. Now available in orange. Tiny Bite Two-Bite Apples. Mm-mm, gone. Pro football. Without Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are disappearing faster than Louis Anderson ziplining in the Alps. College football. Notre Dame hammers USC. All BMWs on the Southern Cal campus will fly their ragtops at half-mast. Can't believe I'm doing this in 100-degree weather, but Iditarod news! Champion dog sledder Dallas Seavey accused of doping his dogs. Seavey blamed Big Pharma, saying, hey, what my dogs do on their own time is their business. That item brought to you by Asgard. Sit down anywhere, worry-free with all-hemp Asgard. If you want more of me this week, Adam, I'll be in Hollywood calling the film director sexual predator lottery for the Karma Network. Woody Allen's still the favorite. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Oh, we love Jeff Cesario. Acme Comedy Club Minneapolis coming up November 2nd through the 4th. And you can get tickets, I should say, at acmecomedycompany.com. All right, let's see. Somebody's got a question from another day, but we never got to him online. Oh, RJ Bell's on too. All right, Spencer, 34, Casper, Wyoming. What's going on?
Hi, how you doing, guys? Great. Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Gina,
what's going
Brian,
on?
I love you guys.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I'm maybe a little behind. I heard you talking last week about Phil having the seizures.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they make some CBD dog treats. And I know that I think the studies have shown that
what's CBD?
The cannabinoid.
It's a non psychoactive ingredient in the THC.
I see.
Another Iditarod scandal in the brewing.
Right on time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, once they bust those black labs, they do twice as much time as the blonde ones do.
School of Kettle Pipeline.
That's right.
I know that humans have been helped with having seizures and stuff with the CBD, and that people have had.
Yeah, it's a sad thing, Lynette. It's one of these first world problems. But Lynette's got some sort of oil, and it's an oil that she went to the veterinarian. She got the oil. They got the big bore syringe, and she's supposed to shoot the oil into the dog's mouth. You gotta hit up Lynette on this, Gary, but I swear to God, I read the thing. I just want to confirm it. It's the same thing I say to the dentist when they go, we're going to clean your teeth with this pumice, this sand that's mixed with joint compound. Would you like the pina colada flavor or the wild mountain raspberry? And I'm like, how about the stuff that tastes like toothpaste? I go, all we have is pina colada and wild mountain raspberry. I go, it doesn't taste. And they go, don't you like pina coladas? I go, yes, I like pina coladas that taste like pina coladas and have rum in them, but minus. Remove the rum and add silica sand and then lay me down and have a crazy Asian on top of me, the whirling dervish. No, I'm not. No, I don't enjoy it. No.
Grind it into my teeth, maybe.
No,
not.
Yeah. If the bartender said, look, I'm making this pina colada, no rum, and I'm going to put it in your mouth with my fist. No, then I would not enjoy it. That's just me. And so the flavor of the oil that needs to be shot into Phil's mouth with a syringe every night, butterscotch. Oh, we all know dogs crave. They crave. See the commercials where the wolf pack is running and they start turning into dogs and they're running toward the candy store with the, wanting the butterscotch.
Clawing at the window.
Grandma's hard candy jar.
Yes, the C's. They went to C's lollipops. I don't know why butterscotch.
Weird.
Now, they'd probably say, well, if we didn't flavor it, it would just taste weird. But then flavor it like giblets or turkey or something, you know?
We give our dog a pill every night that tastes like beef. He's happy to take it.
Yeah. Well, this is butterscotch.
All right.
So, of course, the one thing about Phil, he's 110 pounds. He's all noggin. And you can't corral his head and shoot this stuff into his mouth. He rejects it. So
he's Butterbean, the wrestler. The
Lynette, yes. Lynette has taken to mixing this stuff with peanut butter and like putting it on the floor, but now it's butterscotch.
Yeah, now you're flavoring the flavor.
Wow. It's a weird, thing.
You may have contemplated this already, but maybe your dog needs its own therapy dog.
Oh, yeah. Just
I never thought about this. Yeah, he has seizures.
Yeah.
They can detect them early.
Pilot
fish.
That's an interesting thing because the first guy I ever talked to who traveled with dogs, Richard Belzer. I talked to him like 10 years ago and I was like, you travel with a big poodle? And he's like, yeah. And I thought to myself, what a douche. And it turns out I was right. But I thought, what a douche. And then he said, it detects seizures. So if you can travel with a dog that detects seizures, although if you run this one past Drew, see if he salutes. But yeah, the dog knows when you're going to have a seizure. But why can't my dog have a dog that detects its seizures and I'll travel with both of them? Yeah.
That has to be proven. Like, because they say they do have dogs that can detect seizures. And I don't even know I'm in an argument with my wife until it's over. Yeah, I need a dog to, you know, someone
to interrupt.
To just go, you know, when my wife says, hey, real estate rates are coming down, maybe we should refi. I need a dog in the corner going, arf, arf, arf.
Yeah.
It's time.
All right. Got it, Gary. Thanks. So Phil, we'll see. The other thing that's a little nutty, you can tell me, Jeff, if you have this. Or if any of you, well, Gina, you don't have this, but Jeff May and Brian May, wife owners and dog owners, not in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Proud.
It's funny because women have the ability to have things that never enter the radar. Like, for instance, you know, don't leave the house with the tub water running. Like, you don't go to Yosemite and have the tub water running. Be like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, with things like that. So there's certain things that like don't make Lynette's radar. That dog and water in the bowl is an obsession.
Me too.
It's an insane obsession. Where's Phil? Look, he's got, there's a 2 inches. That's not fresh water. Wow. He has bowls scattered all over this valley like Pablo Escobar had safe houses. He's like, there's a bowl in here. There's another bowl there. I trip over a bowl. When I walk out of my master bedroom, I trip over a bowl on my way to another bowl that's 18 feet away in the kitchen. And then there's the outdoor bowl and the inner bowl. I've never heard more discussions about this bowl would be empty in 4 days if I didn't fill it. It's like, how has it ever been proven that dogs really need to hydrate that much? I feel like
their journey to the bowl,
the dog walks past the bowl every time. Like, what is the weird? It's a feminine obsession with dogs and water. It's not. She doesn't like walk the dog as catch as catch can and brush the dog as catch as catch can. There's many things that are catch as catch can, but not the water. It's an insane obsession with hydration and that dog. Yeah. What is it?
It's funny you should bring this up because this very specific issue will be Tim and my undoing because this is multiple a daily fight of Gina, please, with the water bowls. I put them away for a reason. He only needs one. But that one's not fresh. He's old. Fresh. He's not going to drink it if it's not fresh.
The thing drinks from the toilet on a regular basis. It's like, and it's not fresh.
You got to throw a couple of ice cubes in there.
They don't get it as you kick the water bowls, too, because they put them like by the door or near the sink. And by the way, when you kick a water bowl, more water comes out of it than was in it.
Correct.
Like it hits and slashes. I don't know. I'm not a mathematician.
Einstein theory.
Yes, I'm not an aquatarian, but somehow more water comes out than was in it. And you're like, why does the bowl? He needs what? It's like, what is it? It's a weird thing. What is why all women share the crazy obsession?
That is true.
With water hydration. And dogs.
I have no insight as to why, but I will say this. Christy was more diligent than I at making sure Charlie's bowl was fresh water, you know, every day, blah, blah, blah. I let it go 2-3 days. I know, God forbid.
With no ice cubes. It's hot outside.
Brian, I'm calling animal services.
I'll tell you what will cure you of the obsession with the dog's water.
Brain tumor.
A toddler who loves to turn the bowl upside down.
There you go. Tessa turns the bowl upside down.
Now it's not, it's not important to turn
it upside down.
We don't want Charlie to have a full bowl of water.
Here's my theory. I think it's a breastfeeding extension because they can't actually do it. So there's a liquid that they can provide.
There's some sort of psychodynamic thing that runs deeper than anything, because if you said to me, in terms of your wife, in terms of her concerns, like, where do they go? Earthquake safety. Can we go less than zero, or do we have to stop at zero? Earthquake. Okay, that's a zero. Radon. I don't think she thinks that's a like a white snake cover band
Tommy
or something.
Chong's daughter.
Okay,
it's a new jewelry.
What else? What else? About just general safety in the house? Anything glued down? Is anything like childproof? Is anything strapped?
Does the
gas? Does she know where the key is to shut the? No, that's all. No, it's all zero. Where? What about water for the dog? 2,000%. 2,000%.
But can I get her to walk outside once every couple of weeks and water the plants on the patio?
Not that part. This part. Yeah. This is a unique woman thing, because I feel like men, we just sort of go we put everything in sort of order of importance. And dog not dying of dehydration is fine, but dog not living like Ava Gabor. that we don't worry about.
And you know what? It extends past your own dog, because there have been two occasions that Phil has been in here, and I've been like, really? Nobody?
Where
nobody
is he? Somebody go to the lake.
So I had to. I was compelled to put water down because I was afraid Phil's going to die.
You know what I love, too? I love the fact that the non-acceptance of Phil's refusal of your offering, which is, here's your water, Phil.
It walks away.
Drink. Come on.
Yes. It is rare the dog dives in. Thank God, water.
It's an interesting thing that we should figure out. It's one of the main differences between men and women. And I've never met one that wasn't obsessed with hydrating the dog.
And might I add, this is water that rates C- from the LADWP.
Oh, to be fair, I don't think Lynette's going to the spigot with this.
Oh, she's going
to the bottle.
Yeah. She's like, it would be more expensive if I went over here.
Literally money down the drain.
Literally. All right. RJ Bell is on the blower. First, let me tell you about BetDSI first. Yeah, before we bring up RJ. 20 years paying winners, A-plus rated, and sportsbook reviews on the website. So you see, it gets the A-plus. I play there myself. I recommend BetDSI, and you can use the sports knowledge that you we'll get some picks from RJ in a second. Make a little extra cash, go to BetDSI, and have a little fun this season. Use your mobile device, and you can play with it on their interface there. And you play, you win, you get paid. It's certain. Easy. Odds on all things football, including live betting and the prop bets and the games that are in action as well. And all major sports, politics, reality TV, pretty much everything. Use the code Corolla25. You get $25 free to wager with, to get started with. And if you decide to deposit, you get a 200% bonus match on your money. So that's BetDSI. Promo code Corolla25. Have a little fun this football season. Use the code Corolla25. Get to $25 and get started. Use it on RJ's parlay, man. BetDSI. RJ?
Yes. I think BetDSI liked the parlay last week.
I'm guessing you went 2-0?
No. The opposite.
Sorry, I didn't check.
They would not have liked the 2-0.
They would have not liked it. Sorry. So what happened last week?
You know, it was just one. You know, to me, it's a teaching moment, I think, is the best way to explain it. In that we said at the start of the season.
Like, hold on. Like, perhaps you should have followed your dad into the aluminum siding business. Like, that kind of teachable moment?
Well, he was a coal miner, so probably not the move. Maybe I should have went to law school. No, it really does show you your goal at the end of the year is to win money. You know, 97% of sports bettors net lose money. And to me, that's fine as long as you understand it's a recreation, you know, like going to a movie, right? You don't make money going to a movie. Our goal, though, is to win, and I'm very confident by the end of the year, or even now on the season, by the end of the year, we're going to have winner a winning result for the listener.
Well, here's we're ahead of the game because you're right. We are statistically even, but you had fun the first half of the season picking the parlays, and you're not out. You're not out anything. So now, as we head toward the second half of the season, let's see if we can put some money in our pocket. Let me cue you up.
Football, gambling, America. Don't sweat the bet. We got Vegas insider RJ Bell.
Oh, that's good.
This is RJ's Parlay.
All right, RJ, what do you got for us this week?
Okay, we're going to go with a favorite in game number one, the Buffalo Bills, favored by 2.5, hosting the Raiders. Now, if you look at this Raiders team, they won a lot of close games last year, one score games they won. And in the long run, those tend to even out. They're coin flips. So if you win a lot of those, you tend to be overrated because that record looks so good. Here's an amazing stat. If you had flipped the Raiders, close wins to losses, losses to wins, right? So if it's a coin flip, going opposite is not crazy. Last year, the Raiders would have been 5-11. 5-11. And this year, not much better. And I think they're still a little overrated.
I think the Raiders, everyone entered the season with, hey, they got Marshawn Lynch. Look at it. It's never worked out when you've taken a back who's been in the league for 8 years or so and then took a year off and then have him come back. They've never torn up the league. Yeah. They've been competent, but it's not a game changer, sure, so to speak. And everyone had built up the Raiders, but they're still kind of the Raiders. I think they got too hyped at the beginning of the season.
No, I think that's true, no doubt. And another thing is Vegas has the Raiders coming. That's the plan. And in town, the amount of money bet on the Raiders is so much higher than it used to be because there's so many more Raiders fans now because they're coming to Vegas.
Interesting, right.
And it's skewing the numbers. Bills are good at home. They have good momentum. Last factor in this game, it starts at 1 o'clock Eastern, which body clock-wise for the Raiders, 10 a.m., and that's another negative for the Raiders. Pick number one, Bills, -2.5.
Well, can I say this, too, not to get too technical with the body clock stuff, but most of the Raiders, including Marshawn, are summers, and they're forced to wear the dark and the black of the Raiders old, and it clashes with their eyes.
That's
true. So
by the way, Marshawn is actually suspended this week.
Oh, is he? Mm-hmm. Well, what did he do?
He bumped the ref. He grabbed a ref.
I forgot about that. I don't know why everyone likes Marshawn Lynch. I'm not a fan of his. I find him to be sort of antisocial and arrogant. And
everyone's always trying to convince you what a smart, thoughtful guy is. He's actually really smart.
He is.
The only guy that left the bench in that fight, the only guy on both teams, 106 guys, was Marshawn Lynch, and he grabbed a ref. He didn't he grabbed a hold of his shirt.
I think he's...
Tell me how smart he is.
He's like the band Fish, right? Just keep going. I don't get it. Oh no!
You just haven't seen him do his thing. You got to see him.
Yeah, they got it. They got to come to your house and do Who's Next, the entire album in your living room. And I go, I know, but they're just jamming for 20.
You'd get it
if Marshawn gets up there and grabs a tambourine and hangs with Fish. And like every time I see Marshawn Lynch, he seems totally arrogant. He seems a little antisocial, and he seems kind of scary. And all they do is, he's the best.
I tweeted about this exact same thing, and a lot of people got back to me with, he's done a lot for youth. He does a lot for charity and a lot for youth. It's like, every rich multimillionaire in the NFL sets up a foundation as a tax shelter so they can avoid taxes. And it's all my foundation. My foundation's doing this. Don't come to me with your foundation and helping kids. Everyone has a foundation. Everyone's helping somebody. Man.
Yeah, so
O.J. Simpson had a goddamn foundation.
Put his hands on a rack.
Aaron Hernandez, I swear to God, had a foundation.
All right.
Rich.
There you go.
That rant brought to you by Smirks, the lemony sarcastic breath mint.
Sorry, go ahead, RJ. So
you guys are missing the key point. When you have a nickname Beast Mode, that's why you're popular.
Right. But just
he loves Skittles.
He's a great guy, or he's super funny, you just don't know it or whatever.
If you only knew him.
Right. Okay. So we're going with the Bills. I like that pick.
All right.
Is it do you say 2.5?
2.5, favored by 2.5.
Bills at home.
Yeah, do you sort of look at that as, when you see 2.5, do you think they just have to win the game? Like,
you know, yes and no, that gets a little dangerous because obviously games fall 1 and 2, but here's the key. 3 is the most common margin of victory in the NFL. If a line is around 3, the team wins by 3 about 10% of the time. So I would not play this game at 3. 2.5, though, it's worth a play.
All right, and the next pick?
The L.A. Chargers plus 7.5 against the Patriots. So we've got the Patriots at their high point of the season. Had a dominating win on national TV.
What'd I tell you? What'd they do? What'd they do right before halftime?
Squeezing a score.
They break everyone's back with 7 before the half. 7. Not 3. 7. They do it more than any team has done it in the last 15 years with Brady. And I said it the week before, and they did it the next week. Think about your teams you like. They don't go down and score right at the end. They just
or beginning or half middle.
They do 49ers. It. But they do it, and it's debilitating to the other team. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And listen, Belichick, in my opinion, and you know, I know football a little bit, is a genuine genius. And I've never seen, you know, we could go back to Bill Walsh maybe in the 80s as a genius, but this guy is as good at what he does, I think, Belichick, as anyone is as good at what they do, you know, in modern America.
I agree, and I will say this, and Gary's a big Chargers fan. I know this is a Rams fan. Part of being a Chargers fan is being distraught, destroyed, but beleaguered.
Your defining characteristic.
Yes, but and you must be tormented. It's not enough that you just mourn. Yep. You need to be tormented.
Yep,
and
so
what the Chargers have to do is they have to lose like their first 4 or 5 games where they could have been 3-2 or 4-1. They go 0-5. But then they have to show some signs of life. Absolutely. They're going to have to knock off a couple competitors.
Real good teams.
Yeah, they're going to knock off a couple of competitors because if they just lost their 6th and 7th game, you'd get on with your life. But they suck you back in. So they win those games, and they go, Jesus Christ, they just beat the defending Super Bowl champions. Yep. Maybe they're on a roll here if they can string together, and then they lose. Yes. That's part of it. That's why they're heartbreaking. It's not they just lost every game. You'd lose interest. You'd move on.
Yeah, I'd be fine.
That's
you'd
right.
Build up a callus.
Shakespearean.
Right.
Yes, I like that. So I like where your head's at here because they're going to suck all their fans back in with at least covering the Pats.
Well, listen, you are so correct. If you look back this year, last year, and the year before, the Chargers have lost an inordinate number of close games, no doubt about it, and even this year. But they did win recently. So last week against Denver, it was a dominating performance. So I think this team has momentum. Some called Uncle Mo, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Inside joke there. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the Chargers and their home, last point on this game, home and away, this home field in L.A. is not doing them any favors. It's the worst home field in the NFL right now when it comes to an advantage. Now, they're on the road this game.
It's a soccer field. It's a soccer field, so it has the ghost of everyone who hates football living in it. All the dumb people live in it with the shiny shorts going, that's not the real football. Yeah. So you can't excel. It's like I'm playing football on an Indian burial ground. You can't do it.
That's really true.
And when you have, lastly, when you have a disadvantage at home, or let's say the lack of an advantage, that makes you generally look like a worse team because every other team has that home advantage. The Chargers don't. And if you actually just bet the road team in all the Chargers games this year, you'd be 6-1 against the spread. Chargers on the road. We're betting them this week.
All right. So they're getting 7.
7.5.
Oh, 7.5. I like that half. All right. RJ Bell, everyone. RJ Bell's dream preview. Let's go out, Brian.
RJ Bell. RJ's parlay.
Thank you, RJ.
Thank you, guys.
I feel like in Los Angeles, between the Rams and the Chargers, it's like Goldilocks. It's like, this stadium's too small. This stadium's too big. And it looks sparse. I need a 63,000 job that's just right.
Yeah. Yeah. People aren't quite aware yet that there's 2 football teams. They say, hey, the Chargers are here. Yeah, well, what exit is that? And you go, it's a football. Forget it.
All right, let's see.
I got a thought on Marshawn.
Dave Rubin's here. Yes,
I got
go
a quick
ahead.
Thought. I don't know if you want to do a read first or not, but it's some a thought back to something he said on Loveline that made me think of when Marshawn came off the bench. So Marshawn Lynch came off the bench in the last
game.
Well,
Gary, you find that, and yeah. and I'll apologize. It was it the late game? Was it,
it
the
was, it was a Sunday night game, right?
Oh, well, sorry. So
it was not a morning game. It was either afternoon or evening.
I think it was the evening game. Either way, I probably was watching 30 games at once and missed it.
It was Raiders at Chiefs, so I think it was a...
Nighttime. So save the thought for one second. I'll say about Verdes, but definitely want to hear it. Nobody plans to sit all day, but you end up doing a lot more sitting than you'd like to. Sometimes over 10 hours. Verdes, stay active. Make the most of your workday. The desk slides up. The desk comes down. It's one of these things where I thought, I don't know how this works when they first started describing to me, but it works very nicely. Just set it on top of your desk, and when you drop it down, it's only, I don't know, like 2.5 inches above the height of your desk, and you sit down and you work, and then you get up and stand up, or you do what our own Chris Maxpata does back there. He stands on a skateboard while he's standing and working his Verdesk, and he works his core, man. And it's better for your back, reduces your stress, gives you more energy, gets the metabolism moving a little bit, boosts productivity. Sit and stand solutions, man. Verdesk. You try it free. 30 days. That's right. With free shipping both ways. If you don't like it after 30 days, ship it back for free. But you're going to like it. They're confident that way. Varidesk.com. Varidesk.com. Do it for your health, man. Verdesk. Go ahead, Brian.
In my younger days, Marshawn Lynch, playing for the Raiders, came off the bench. And there's a scrap. There's a fight. A couple of players were getting locked up, and they're getting a bit of a fight, and it was being handled on the field. But then you're not supposed to leave the bench. That's a big no-no. For some reason, he came off the sidelines, and people were like, oh, he knows the guy. He's friends with the guy. But he grabbed a referee, and he kind of, like, roughed him up a little bit, which is huge no-no. Cool,
so he's Gary, when you find it, you can out of the grab game, it.
Suspended the next week.
Would you like the play as well?
Just the aftermath.
Surprise me. I don't care. Go get it.
My actual thought was, everything I learned early on in my life about relationships and really human nature was from Loveline. I listened to you guys, and you talked about, like, you know, when someone would cheat or do something crazy, like, why would he do that? And your consensus was, he wanted out. He wanted out. He did this stupid thing. Why did he cheat with my friend and then tell me he wanted out?
He's got her pics of her and sexy texts and a kissing potion, and it's all over his phone, and he leaves his phone on the countertop right. And says, I'm taking a shower. And you go, and you say, well, what happened? It's like he wanted out. He didn't know he wanted out, and it's hard to ask.
And if you asked him, he'd probably say no. But
boy, anytime you see that bottle of kissing potion
on top of the cell phone, you know that guy's cheating.
So show the play.
We'll see the play.
I'll give you my thought.
You give a call for call here, Brian.
Gonna line up and call a play.
An offensive play for the Raiders.
He'd be
quarterback draw.
And there's
a little bit of a late hit.
Now we got a scrap. Now we got a scrap.
Don't be playing with a quarterback.
The one guy coming off the bench. Marshawn Lynch mixing it up. Now he's shoving the referee. Not suddenly either.
Wow. Right.
You can turn the sound off.
All right, so
I'm watching this. I'm watching the replay, and I'm like,
"That's a brouhaha, a Donnybrook, a melee,
Donnybrook."
It was kind of blatant; like he wasn't being subtle about it. And it wasn't one of those like, "Oh, oops, I got you. Sorry about that." Like he grabbed the guy's shirt and was kind of roughing him up, and I was like, "Marshawn Lynch came back to his hometown team. You know, the big splash. He's been gone for 2 years. Came to his hometown team. He sucks. It's not going the way he wants it to. The team sucks. They're like 2-5. He wanted out." He's like, this is not going according to plan. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Oh. He would probably pass a lie detector if you asked him and say, no, I did not do that intentionally. But he came off the bench with the hopes of like, let's put an end to this. Let's go.
I agree with that thought.
This is not going according to plan.
I always use him as an example of like, when did Cal start winning? And it's like, well, Cal's running backs used to look like John Cappelletti because they had to have a 3.9 GPA and super high SATs. And at some point,
wore glasses on the field.
Right. Yeah. At some point, they went, let's just go into beast mode, not academically. We're getting our asses handed to us by USC every year, and it's because we have these super crazy standards for our athletes. And
Pell Grant program we could sign up for.
No more Asian free safeties.
Deshaun Jackson's playing wide receiver, and Marshawn Lynch is playing running back.
Right. They ratcheted down the standards just a little bit.
Got to make exceptions.
There you go. All right. Let's see.
You want it out.
I like that thought because it's an extension of my
love line theory.
Dave Rubin is out there. We'll bring him in a second. I just want to blow through these last few calls and we'll get to Dave. Let's see. Somebody has a thought. Louis, 36, Redwood City. Louis?
Adam, Paul, Gina, thanks so much for taking my call. Love you guys.
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay, so Oscar season is right around the corner. All these big movies that are vying for Oscar nods are coming out in the next few months. And I remember you talking last year about Moonlight and how to kind of check every box to get in on the Oscar action. So I wanted to read you a real synopsis of a movie that just came out with Salma Hayek called Beatrice at Dinner.
Yes,
ready?
I'm listening.
An aging Hispanic vegetarian lesbian clairvoyant aromatherapist guitarist with healing powers whose goat has just been murdered is invited to dinner where she confronts the old white male land developer rhinoceros hunting billionaire bigot. And things get a little awkward.
Yes. Now, hold on. Does the goat have AIDS?
HIV. Does that count?
HIV positive?
I haven't played this game. Is this just an over and under? Because I'll go five Oscars. That's what I'll do.
Five's the over under on this.
Over. Definitely over.
Over. I love it. Thanks, Louis.
You got it.
I wonder how much of this stuff is starting to factor into folks that are making these movies. Because we've done the math where if the guy wears a tunic and carries a shield and comes from a planet Ass Grab, it's never going to work out. You make all the superheroes, make all the car stuff, make all the blow them up, like make everything you want. But if somebody goes like, hey, let's get a really hot chick, make her ugly, make her an amputee, and make her drive the rig, now we got a much better shot at this thing working than John Cena is. Yeah. You know,
could we just invent a movie without actually making the movie? Because most of these movies barely get seen.
That's true. Uh-huh.
Maybe
Everyone
we could create one and see how far we get.
Oh, this one's
without
called
actually ever making it.
Without making it,
there was So we start laying it out like, oh, you didn't hear about the slave rebellion at the AIDS hospice?
Exactly.
Oh, look it up. That's a historical. That was a big day. Yeah, she was transitioning. He was transitioning, but they led the charge.
Yeah,
in
it's called
uprising.
A roof over one's head or something like that.
Yeah,
you know.
It's good.
We need a nationality.
It's good.
A Namibian, maybe, or something.
Make up
like that.
Film festivals that it won awards at, mm-hmm. and see how far we can take this before somebody goes, "Where is it playing?" And you go, "Oh, it's not here."
But no one would ever admit that. They go,
no,
"I saw it. It was great, very compelling, and
exactly."
All right, Dave Rubin is out there, the very fair-headed, fair-minded, the very fair Dave Rubin. I love Dave Rubin. He's out there. I will tell you guys, Jeff Cesario, shoot him a tweet, at real Jeff Cesario, tell him how much you love him. Acme Comedy Club, Minneapolis, November 2nd through the 4th. Tickets at acmecomedycompany.com. We'll take a break. We'll listen to a little Good Sports. We'll be back with Dave Rubin right after this.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mitch Marshall loves fights.
Riffing on bad stuff on movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the latest episode of Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Good Thursday to you. Ace, yesterday we talked to former NHL instigator and I imagine still current coxman, Sean Avery. He spun some yarns for us. And one of the things we talked to is hockey players do better with women than I think any other athlete, baseball, basketball, and football, at least. I don't know how tennis players do. I have no knowledge about that, nor do I know how golfers do. Although I guess the golfers do pretty well based on what you see hugging the guy on the 18th hole after they win
Gretzky's daughter.
Gretzky's daughter, right, is married to the one guy, Dustin Johnson, yeah. Right?
She's a looker.
I think, yes. It's funny because football players, they're all super – like, that's a certain taste that you would have to have to like that.
Yeah, I want to get to this for a second, but I do want to say it's – you know, Gretzky's daughter, very lucky because her mom is this fantastic-looking gymnast. Can't even think of her name right now.
Do you think she's – She's an actual gymnast because she did American Anthem.
She was in Gymkhana or something.
No. Janet Jones.
She's Janet Jones. It's like I would like almost like a fitness model. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
that's
a
fair.
Crazy fitness model. And then your dad. I mean, all right. I'll give you a good point. Let's bring it back to current times. If you've seen the pictures of Harvey Weinstein's wife going down the red carpet, she's a vision.
Right.
She's a designer, but she looks like an international model. All right. Now,
I hear, by the way, that marriage is on the rocks.
I don't know. Well, let's talk about off the air because I hadn't heard those stories.
Okay,
I don't want to.
I read the entertainment trades. That's why.
I watch TMZ. I haven't heard a word. But okay, let's just agree to disagree.
Okay.
She is a beautiful international, looks like an international model with the shoulders pulled back and the weird sort of spots and bright spots on her cheeks and everything. She's amazing. And then he's an ogre, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a daughter, well, she could go down her route, but she could go down the ogre route.
True.
As well, right? We're just looking at Gretzky. Yeah. Now, mom is the fitness model, actress, blah, blah, blah. That is win-win for her because Gretzky is the most feminine of all professional. Come on. He was blonde haired. He's sort of hairless.
Come on me. He and I almost threw bare knuckles in the Kimmel Green Room 12, 15 years
I'm
ago.
I'm saying, like, if you don't want ex-Patriots tight end Russ Francis as your dad because he's going to marry a supermodel.
I love the when you summon a football player named Bill Berge and now Russ Francis.
If you look up Russ Francis.
He's old man. I'm not
he's
debating
like, you. He is like the brawny man.
He's more man than Tom Selleck.
He really is.
He's the more macho Selleck.
He is a more macho Selleck. And all I'm saying is you could get. You know, you get the waif model, and then you get Weinstein over here, and now the gene pool's like, that's rolling the dice. You know what I mean? Gretzky, the beautiful blonde waif male, marries the beautiful blonde waif model, and of course, the outcome is a foregone conclusion. You're going to have this. You're going to have a beautiful... I mean, I got to tell you, Russ Francis, quietly the most man that may have ever walked the planet. Now, I'm not talking about steroids, and I'm not talking about being jacked up and juiced up and all that shaven and all that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about a dude with a serious mustache and a lantern jaw.
Well, how would Russ Francis have done in the Old West? Very nicely, I suspect.
Very nicely, yeah.
Him or me in the Old West?
Oh.
Who makes it longer? I wonder what I would have done in the Old West. How would you have made your way?
Let's see. What's Russ's Jewish name? Because yours is like Fievel or something. Any guy with
Velvel Fievel.
What is it?
Velvel.
Velvo. Any guy named after a synthetic cheese is not going to do well in the Old West. Russ Francis would be sheriff of whatever town he was in inside of 10 minutes.
That's so true. Yes, that's an interesting point. You could drop Russ Francis into any period in man's recorded history and he would probably thrive.
Also, there is something
a great point. I haven't thought about that.
There's just something about those dudes who were big, but not not lifting, you know, not because they were jacked and roided, just a big cut of dude. Yeah, but he looked like if you are drawing, if you're commissioned to have a painting of a lumberjack, that's what Russ Francis would look like. And you also got to give credit to the guys that had the beards and stuff when nobody else had a beard.
Yeah, it's true. I think that's an interesting point too. Yes, the players of yesteryear, when I meet the Hall of Famers, I actually twice have been lucky enough to glad hand with one mean Joe Green.
Wow.
You can imagine how I swooned. You know,
yeah.
After I got the vapors and passed out, and then I was revived with some smelling salts and was able to glad hand with him a bit. Yeah, he's one of those guys. There's nothing like, wasn't like, oh, yeah, yeah, because I would get to the gym and spend 2 hours in there with the free weights. You could tell, like, you never had to do that, did you? You never had to pick up a weight. You're naturally a massive, domineering, sort of intimidating figure.
I'm going to challenge you to find me I'll name two. I'll get started. I'll give you two guys in the NFL who are surprisingly big and surprisingly small and sort of pedestrian. Like, you know, sometimes you meet a guy and you can't believe that played in the NFL.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying Doug Flutie. I'm gonna be genuine here and take two big man positions. Warren Sapp doesn't seem like a big dude. He could be a bus driver or something like that. Now, what he had is crazy.
Big, relatively speaking. Yes, he is. He does not seem like. Yes, that is. There's a Hall of Fame defensive tackle.
No, not at all. It just seems like a guy's let himself go a little bit, could work at the post office or something. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem, you know, shoulders aren't broad or anything. He's kind of round shaped. It was like all just amazing athletic gift that guy had. On the other hand, Tony Gonzalez is huge.
Yes.
Huge hands, huge feet, like just a huge man, not a fat man, not a husky man. He's just a huge guy.
That's true. He, as a matter of fact, once I was over at the NFL, and as you know, sometimes because I give it all, I leave it all out there when it's time for to perform. You know, you know how it is, and so I get dewy sometimes. So post show one day, I was back there with a hair dryer in the makeup room, and I was drying my armpits.
Yeah,
because I got dewy. You know?
Yeah, I got dewy,
and I was alone in there, and then I hear somebody say, what the hell's going on in here? And I turn around, and it's Hall of Fame tight end Tony Gonzalez.
Big dude, right?
Well, I felt shame. I'll tell you, the guys in the league now, the small version plays the same position. Aaron Donald of your Los Angeles Rams, that is this generation's greatest defensive tackle is hard to fathom. In the 21st century, fine, in the 1970s, if you see Jack Lambert played at 215, 220 and was the greatest middle linebacker of the decade. Now, though, as big as these guys are, Aaron Donald is, you're about like, I mean, he's wider than you, but he is not like this massive superhuman creature when you see him. It's weird to see. Now, the guys who are that way, the two who stand out to me, Cam Newton. When Cam Newton comes into a room, he's got that Shaq build to him, which is to say he's completely proportional. Somebody put him into the make him twice as big as a normal human being, and like everything is in proportion. It's no wonder he runs over everybody and away from it, because he's bigger than anybody trying to tackle him out there.
Can I say this? Does not get his props in the looks department.
In the looks.
He's a very good looking guy.
I have him as my 1A. There are all these Johnny come latelys. Oh, everybody's now all caught up in the QB and up in Chicago now. People are hip on him. Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo is so handsome.
Are we a little racist in that way? Like, I'm not down with the take a knee thing, but I would take a knee over this. It's all Tom Brady. It's all Garoppolo. It's all everything. There's some pretty good looking brothers at QB.
Sal and Hench on Sunday at the warehouse. Ace, what are you doing on your knee there? Not until Cam Newton gets his due.
Not until he's recognized as a hottie. He's a big, beautiful glass of chocolate milk.
He is a handsome devil, and the only thing that keeps him from the top spot on my handsome quarterback list is the gold standard, Tom Brady. Yeah. I don't, listen, call me old school. I'm going to stand by number 12 until he hangs it up. You know, that's my way. You know, by the way, good quick question for you here. You're talking about all this stuff before we wrap it up here. Let's say you can populate your football team 22 times over. You can replicate one football player to fill your entire roster. Who's that one guy? It's a fun question.
Efren Herrera.
The Seahawks kicker. Former Cowboys and Seahawks place kicker. Yeah. Efren Herrera.
Yeah. It's about 5'6".
I didn't think that was going to be your answer. That color me surprised.
Yeah. I like
that's
kicking.
It. That's it for this edition of Good Sports on Podcast One Sports. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Good Sports.
I'm Allie Hilfiger.
And I'm Steve Hash.
And we're the hosts of Sit-In on Podcast One.
Join us as we travel around the world visiting creative people in their homes, studios, and the places they work to discuss their story, process, and basically everything in between.
We're sitting down with the biggest names in the world of fashion, art, and music, like Tommy Hilfiger, Gigi Hadid, Bryan Adams, Martin Lawrence Ballard, and Zanna Roberts.
Check out new episodes of Sit-In every week, exclusively on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or PodcastOne.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Big fan. Been with for a long time. Filling up the movies the other day. And it's one of those movie theaters, the new Fandango bike seats, where you can, like, it's basically like a lazy look recliner where you can kick your feet up. And the guy next to me takes off his freaking shoes. And the whole time I'm watching the movie, I'm distracted by this guy's bald feet just sitting there dangling in the wind. And I'm not talking about, like, a guy in his 20s. This dude was well into, like, 60s or 70s. I wanted to slap him. But I thought you'd appreciate it. Peace out, Ace Man.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I blame flip-flops. So easy to kick off, and you're 61% there already with the flip-flops. Because back when dudes wore spats...
They actually had to go over the shoe.
It went over the shoe, and they're like a high top and lace up. I'm sure this rarely happened. If they did, monocles would be dropping. Dave Rubin in studio. Good to see Dave.
Good to be here.
The Rubin Report is the name of the show. Subscribe to get weekly videos, and you can search the Rubin Report on YouTube. One of my favorite episodes is with our friend Larry Elder on there.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about all sorts of political things and racism and systemic racism and all that kind of stuff. And it was very interesting. Larry's a very passionate man. But Dave is smart because, Dave, I've never realized you're receptive. What you would like is the truth.
Yeah.
And then you would like to get better at things that you do, and you'd like to grow and evolve. And I get cream in a little glass container, and it has a redemption value to it. And usually when I'm done banging it on top of my mug, because it's probably $11, I take it to the sink and I rinse it out and I put on the thing. And Olga, my nanny, said, pour the hot coffee into it, swirl it around with the cap on, then dump it into the cup, get every last drop. And that was a year ago, and I've never done it any other way. But I didn't do the move that so many people do, which is, this is how I do it, okay? You're not the boss of me. And I feel like you're that way.
I try to be. First off, you know, you described me as level-headed before, which I was thinking, you know, I heard the caller that said dinner with Beatrix and the she's got a limp and a lesbian and she's Asian. And I feel like I need a better intro than level-headed Dave Rubin. Like, it should be like, oh, you know, he's got a bad knee and a lazy eye. And
yeah, you're
like,
right.
We should be using
outlaw.
This.
Outlaw.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Dave Rubin.
We're white
renegade.
And it's terrible. And
gun for hire.
Yeah, like, mercenary. I need something better. But yes, basically, I you know what? I'm going to fully say it here, Adam. I don't say it that often. I don't know everything. And I am willing to listen to people. That interview with Larry Elder, we need sound effects on my show. That is what we're missing. That interview with Larry Elder, I mean, he beat me. We had never met before. We sat down. We started talking about racism. He beat me over the head with facts. And when I finished the show, we did about an hour and a half together. When I finished, I walked into the control room. It was when I was at Aura TV over here. And my producer said, everybody in the control room said, we have to cut that. They were like, you just got demolished. And I was like, no, that's what we have to show, that if you come to a conversation without being armed with facts, then that is going to be what happens. And guess what? I learned from it. Larry and I since are very good friends, and he's come on my show a bunch of other times. And that's what having a conversation is all about, knowing something and actually being okay. When someone knows more than you, that's actually pretty good. That means you have an opportunity to learn.
Well, you know, let's break down the game film. And because – and Larry Elder is sort of like the black Ben Shapiro, which is to say – don't get into an argument with him unless you come fully loaded for bear with facts and whatever. Now,
I've heard Ben describe himself as the Jew Larry Elder. So yes. There you go.
So now, if facts don't play into it, then don't argue with Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm. There's no, or possibly my wife. Like if we're going fact based, stay away from Larry and stay away from Ben. If facts don't matter, don't stay away from Jimmy, because he'll win every argument that's not fact-based. And it seems like a slight. It's not really slight. It's just an argument of like what band is better,
yeah,
or what guy's cooler, or something, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But emotion plays in arguments, you know?
So it's interesting. So everyone has here are my preconceived notions. These are my opinions. This is where I'm coming from. And obviously, it feels good to be validated or feel right. I mean, it's a very strong sort of human emotion to go, here's what I said would happen, and then this is what happened, and this is I'm right again, or whatever it is. And it takes a kind of confidence and a certain comfort in your own skin to say, I'm open to hearing things that may have gone against certain things that I've said in the past or that I'm thinking now, but it actually makes you better at everything you do. And I think the people who probably get the most out of life are the people who don't feel invalidated as a human being by having a thought that may be invalidated.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference between ideas and people. You could talk about, for example, we could talk about Islam. And that doesn't mean you are anti-Muslim. Muslims are people, and they should be treated as individuals. Islam is a set of ideas. You're allowed to criticize the Republican set of ideas, the Democratic set of ideas. You're allowed to criticize the Old Testament and the Quran and everything else. But yes, everyone takes everything personally, but knowing what you're talking about. So that moment with Larry, we were talking about systemic racism, and I said,
well, we might as well pull the clip.
Oh,
where Dave is. Well, I you
yeah,
know what?
No,
listen, it didn't come across to me. It didn't come across as, oh, this liberal guy just got schooled by this Republican guy. You came across as, here are the things I've heard, and here's what I feel living in this country. And most things are sort of based on, like, you know, my mom is 84. She said to me a year ago, she said, yeah, but rich people don't pay taxes. Mm-hmm. I was like, what do you mean they don't pay taxes? She's like, well, not wealthy people. I was like, of course they pay taxes. What do you, not corporations. And I was like, she's basing this on a feeling of folk things she's heard and places she's gone and surrounded herself with and stuff. But it's not she's evil or wrong.
She might just be, but it doesn't necessarily have to do with taxes.
If you grow up around here, or you spend enough time with the right people, or whatever it is, you just go, well, there's racism. Like, I don't think you weren't coming from a place of I have an agenda. You're coming from a place of like, this is what I know from being alive and living in this country.
I accept that as the intro to me being beaten senseless by Larry Elder.
All right, well, listen.
So, but you wouldn't not acknowledge that there are some systemic issues.
Give me an example. Tell me what you think the most systemic racist issue is. What is it?
Well, I would say that because black people in most cases, in many cases, were descendants of slaves, that racism as an institution, that it just, a certain amount of it just exists.
2015? Give me the most blatant racist example you can come up with right now.
I think you could probably find evidence that in general, cops are more willing to shoot if the perpetrator is black.
What's your data?
Then white.
What's your basis for saying that? Last year.
Well, look, I know a lot of people would say, look what's going on in Chicago.
I know what they would say. Yeah. I'm talking about what the facts are. 965 people were shot by cops last year and killed. 4% of them were white cops shooting unarmed blacks. In Chicago in 2011, 21 people were shot and killed by cops. In 2015, there were 7. In Chicago, which is a third black, a third white, and a third Hispanic, 70% of the homicides are black on black. About 40 per month, almost 500 per year last year in Chicago, and 75% of them are unsolved. Where is the Black Lives Matter on that? The idea that a racist white cop shooting unarmed black people is a peril to black people is BS. It's complete and total BS. And the reason for these so-called activists saying this is the assumption that racism remains a major problem in America. The media, CNN, especially MSNBC, runs down whenever a black cop shoots somebody, and it's some march on Washington. It's ridiculous. Black people, half the homicides in this country are committed by and against black people. Last year, there were 14,000 homicides, not talking about suicides. I'm talking about homicides. Mm-hmm. Half of them were black, 96% of them black on black of that 7,000. Where's a Black Lives Matter people on that.
So that there's where you would say right, that this got, is purely because
Dave
of
Dave called him a dumb N-word and then just laughed. I mean, we'd have to watch part. The that's whole thing. And it gets embarrassing when that's when the language starts coming out. But you can do it on cable, I guess, or you know, I gotta, on the internet. Sorry.
I got to tell you, I haven't watched that in probably a year and a half or something. And it's sort of painful in a certain level, right? Like watching myself not know exactly. You could see my body language and I was hemming and hawing. And yet there's another moment there where I do see why it hit people the way it did. Because I let him show me, you know?
Well, he had information, and he shared it with you. And there's so much of this where somebody in your seat would be going, excuse me. And then you'd do this sort of disingenuous thing. So you'd go, so a redheaded cop, let's say a relative of Danny Bonaducci, shoots a black person with a learning disorder in the back on his own property while he's laying in his race car bed. And that's okay with you?
Yeah.
That's okay with you. Well, it's not okay with me. And then they go with something. And the next thing you know, they're arguing about that point, and it's disingenuous. But I just feel like in today's society and in the climate of what's going on, we need more Dave Rubens out there on both sides willing to meet in the middle. Somebody said,
sounds like a horrible cloning experiment.
More Dave Rubens. That is a nightmare. Well, I'm going to give you a scarier one. Mark Garagus. Somebody said,
shiver.
Collective shiver on America's spine.
Somebody said, can we please recognize Armenian genocide so he can sleep?
Oh my God.
Please.
What do we have to talk about?
I've said it many times. When you're a nation denying a genocide is like a husband denying snoring. It's like, you did it. Nobody's waking you up in the middle of the night going, hey, come on. And you're going, I don't snore. Like,
I think I know if I committed genocide.
Yeah. And we are in Little Armenia here, right?
Yeah, we got to get a CPAP for the genocide. Yeah. No, what I'm saying is somebody shot me a tweet and he said, I think Mark's on one side of the aisle and you're on the other side of the aisle politically, but you agree on 90%. Of the stuff you talk about. And I said, yeah, because we're both into common sense.
Yeah. Well, that's all it is. One of the things I love is that I can show you so many instances where you would argue, a liberal and a libertarian would argue the exact same thing. A liberal that just wants to be nice to people and wants everyone to feel okay and gay people can get married, we can smoke weed and all that. Okay, we're liberal, great. Well, a libertarian just doesn't want the government involved in any of those things. Now, that principle, and I was just in D.C. last week, and I went to Mount Vernon, where, you know, Washington's estate, and I went to the Jefferson Memorial and all those places, and I was reading all the old documents. These guys set up a system in this country that is the most beautiful system in the history of the world that has done more good for more people from every walk of life, that everyone in the world is still trying to get in. All of the people that rant and rave about how horrible America is, they for some reason they want open borders, I guess so that everyone can share in the horror right. that is America. So the point is, we have such a good thing going on here, and it doesn't mean that there aren't problems. And of course, yes, are there people that are racist? Yes. Are some people just not going to like Muslims and not going to like gays and Jews? And yes, it's just how it is. But you can't. We are part of the system, and that's why the system can never be perfect. But
well,
But I think basically the left, they hate the system, and then their answer is make it bigger, give it more money. If only Bernie was in charge, then magically all these things would be solved. And that's nonsense. These people should have nothing to do with our lives. Stop giving them money and stop giving them power.
You know, it's I'm going to use this because I'm heading out to Dodger Stadium after this podcast. There's a big mistake you were talking about. The difference between, you know, this country and the ideals of this country and then pockets of racists or white supremacists, or, by the way, black racists, or anyone who does, anyone who shoots another person, anyone who's bad. We have murderers in this country, but we're not a murderous country. And I'm heading to Dodger Stadium, and I realize Dodger Stadium is good. The Dodgers are good. The people are good. The fans are good. But once in a while, a Giants fan gets his head kicked in the parking lot. But that's not Dodger Stadium. Yeah. That's an event that happens.
But that's why you have
that happened. Yeah. It's like somebody getting stabbed in Disneyland. It's not, people still want to go to Disneyland. Disneyland is still good, but bad things can happen in Disneyland.
You're a large group together.
Yes, yeah. We're in the United States. Pockets of bad things can happen, but we're pretty damn good about it.
Yeah, and you can't whittle away those things. Imagine what society would be like if you could actually magically make it so that we all thought the same things. We all stopped. You know, everyone keeps saying, well, this is the worst time ever, and we're more divided than that. No, we're not. I actually think there's incredible fertile ground happening right now. There are people right now that are fighting, even the people who I disagree with, the postmodern leftists and all this nonsense, and the progressives who I think are completely wrong in everything they say. And I truly believe that their ideology could undermine the greatest experiment that, you know, as Dennis Prager always calls this, America's an experiment. I love that phrase.
Right.
And I think that everything they're doing is a true threat to it, far bigger threat than I think Trump is. But I'm happy that they're at least fighting for their ideas. There are more people. My mom has become a hysterical political person. I don't like the texts. I don't like what's going on Facebook. I've had to ban her from Twitter. But that all aside, she cares. People care again.
They're engaged. And, you know,
you blocked your mom on Twitter.
Well, I didn't block.
That's a pretty good move.
He had her banned.
Yeah, I had her banned altogether. I talked to Jack and we took care of it. Okay, let's just say. Yeah. I had their internet cut. All I did was unplug the router, but they can't figure it out. They're in their late
60s. Outside the house with shears.
I'm banned from Twitter.
To put a finer point on it, the other part of it that drives me nuts is, I am going to go park the car. I'm going to walk through the parking lot where Brian Stowe got his head kicked in by a couple of drunken Dodger fans. And I'm not going to say a word to my son. I'm not going to tell him that Dodger fans will beat you, that these parking lots are dangerous, that people are out to get us, that he needs to know that as a fan, he's got a target on his back. Like, I'm not going to do that to him.
Don't worry about it. I already texted him that.
I don't believe statistically, since it's probably a zero, that we're going to get jumped in the parking lot. Why make him think there's an 86% chance of getting jumped in the parking lot? And this is the bigger problem I have in our society, which is stop explaining to everybody how horrible Dodger Stadium is and how horrible the fans are. Yes, it can happen. Yes, it did happen. Yes, it will happen again. But let's not freak everyone out and pretend like this is a daily occurrence.
But that's what they're trying to do. It's the reason they're sucking the fun out of everything. It's the reason that there's a zillion think pieces on BuzzFeed and Vox and the rest of this garbage about what you can and can't wear for Halloween. It's why stand-up comedy is basically dead almost at this point. There are a couple of great comics, obviously, still. But stand-up, I mean, look, I don't name names because you're probably friends with half these people, but guys that I used to love.
Names. What do they rhyme with?
Guys that I used to – all right, so Sarah Silverman and Judd Apatow and Patton Oswalt and a bunch of others that used to be great, some of whom I know personally. Look what they're doing on Twitter. They're hysterical nutbags. And guess the whole point of comedy is you're supposed to win with comedy. Remember when Milo's book was coming out and everyone was saying, Simon & Schuster has to drop him? I saw comics calling for books to be banned. Well, George Carlin would be rolling over in his grave because these people, it's become a secular religion. They hate religion. They mock religion, but they've become as hysterical as the people that they're constantly mocking.
It saddens me, and I completely agree with you, and I don't know what the end game is. Like, I don't know what's in it for them to obsess online. Like, it's a sort of a thing where it's like, You write your jokes, you get your set worked out, you go to Largo, you work it out, then you hit the road, you shoot a special for Showtime or whatever, and you get paid. So first things first, is you're just sort of sitting at your desk. It's not like you're getting exercise right. or anything. Like you're right. literally just empty calories of you just obsessing, and you're venting, and you're sort of sitting in a bleachers filled with Ravens fans telling everyone how much you love the Ravens and how much you hate the Steelers, and everyone is agreeing with you. And I'm not sure what's in it for you. And surely you can't be happy because all you do is talk about how horrible we are and everything is and the treatment of whomever, indigenous, whomever, and whatever. It's kind of a thing. I think human beings have a wiring that when you have a loose tooth, you just have to flick it with your tongue like all day long. And it hurts and it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's weird, but yet you just stop. Keep mm-hmm. flicking it. And I think this is the sort of adult tweet internet version of just this, like, I'm going to engage. I'm going to stay up. You should be spending time with your kids or going on a jog or hike.
Yeah. Or sex. Do people have sex anymore?
That's right.
Great suggestion.
Go do things. I go to colleges. I talk to these college kids and I'm like, first off, all I did in college for 4 years was smoke pot. I smoked pot and played Sega Genesis. So you can figure out probably what years I was in college. But I love the fact that there's so many kids right now that are awake. And they're going, wait a minute, all of this that we've been taught for so long in the mainstream media, and we've been spoon-fed garbage. But I think to your point about flicking the tooth, I think partly is they've owned the narrative for so long that they truly think the world is coming undone right now because finally there's some opposition to it. There's some actual opposition that some of the things that you talk about and the stuff that you do with Prager and, you know, even Milo and a degree of different people that are a little more center or a little more right, whatever you want to call that. And the right left thing doesn't make any sense anymore. But all of that stuff is now starting to be cool. Freedom is actually starting to be cool. And they're kind of losing. They can't really grade anything because they've owned the debate for so long.
I have a thought. I've a thought I've never had before.
Strap in.
A new thought for me. I'll tease it, but then I'll share it. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. 1 month since the Equifax breach. If you are among the millions affected, your info may already be out there, and it may already have been out there for months, like over 3 months. Thieves can buy your info on the dark web, use it to open new accounts, commit crimes, even steal from your 401k, man. Now it's time to get some protection with LifeLock. I've got it. The kids have it. The wife has it. Dave Rubin's mom doesn't have it because she's been banned from the internet, so she can't get her information out there. But all you folks that haven't been banned by your son from the internet, you need LifeLock. Their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats, and they'll alert you if somebody is trying to steal and use your information. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it, but there won't be a problem because you're smart. You'll get LifeLock, and you'll head them off at the pass. It is LifeLock, Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right, so here's my thought. You made me think of it when you were talking about sort of religion and what's going on and Trump and everything else. So, Gary, who the heck? Glenn Washington.
Yeah.
Glenn Washington was in.
Snap Judgment, the podcast.
Okay.
Glenn Washington came in here 7 hours after Trump won the election, and his wife is the vice mayor of Oakland, and he was explaining to me how he was going to have to sit down and tell his kids, serpentine to the mailbox. You're going to get shot down in the street by one of Trump's assassins in a black helicopter. And I'm like, don't tell your kids that. You're going to freak them out. He's like, I got to be realistic with them. And I was kind of, you know, it's a weird thing. And he was screaming at me about my white privilege. And this guy went to Michigan and then got a law degree. And I went to San Fernando Valley and picked up garbage for a living. But I was trying to defend my white privilege. And I just said to him, look, you got a good wife. You got a good kids. She's got a good gig. You got a good gig. You go back to your community, do your thing. And I bet your kids aren't going to get yanked out off the street and thrown in a volcano by one of Trump's pterodactyls. I bet it'll be cool. I bet it'll be fine. And just don't watch CNN. Don't watch Fox. Just go to work. I bet it works out. And he was telling me how it wasn't, and I was open season on black people, and so I may have to move to Canada or Mexico or something like that. And I now realize, he kept saying he was scared, and I realize that, and you were talking about sort of the bubble and everything, we used to make fun of guys on the right, the religious nut jobs, because the rapture was coming. Like, yep. It's coming, man. Get the folding chairs and get the Ritz crackers, and we're going up top mountain. It's coming. I've done the math. The signs are all in front of us.
All
the signs.
Horsemen.
Yeah, so we've seen all the signs. It's coming, and they'd be heading out, you know, sell the house and go to the mountain and wait for the rapture. And you'd be going, that's nuts. Like, you're nuts. Like, no, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Yes, there was a hailstorm in Van Nuys. Rare. it is rare, but that's not one of the signs. And they start talking about, oops, I snuck my water. What's going on in the Middle East? That the Bible talked about a bearded man. Who wielded power, you know, Bible. This, that, and the other.
Right. So preachy.
In a weird way, there's a hard left.
So preachy. Yes,
there's a hard
totally
left
right.
version of that going on with Trump. Like, you understand what he's going to do? Like, look, he's a business guy. He's going to make bad decisions. He's going to send out some crappy tweets. He's going to try to lower the corporate tax rate. You and your kids will be fine. It'll be fine. We don't have to go full. This is Armageddon. So it's a kind of a.
Yes.
It's a hard left. Atheist Armageddon. That's what Trump is, the rapture for atheists.
You're completely right. I mean, this is one of the things that I saw.
Hold on a second.
That was a good new thought.
Self-satisfying sniff.
Yeah, that was good. You know, I used to work for a pretty far left network, and I was in it with the progressives. Like, I understand this mindset. And one of the things I realized is they were hysterical about everything all the time. Everything caused hysteria.
My mom wouldn't let us get a microwave oven in 1974 because it caused cancer. Like,
yeah.
The TV set caused, like, everything caused cancer.
Well, and also,
so wait, that turned out to be true, right?
For Brian, yeah, right. He slept in the microwave.
Wow. Also,
watch TV in the microwave.
They're not free, though.
They're not free. That's right. Yeah. But sorry, go ahead.
Well, just the endless level of hysteria. One of the things that I said right after the election, I think the first video I did in 2017, was that they're causing a situation that our own gauge on what to be upset by, what is right, what is wrong. If we're all ratcheting this thing up and screaming all the time, when something truly bad happens, we won't know what to do. And by the way, if you keep calling Trump Hitler, and he doesn't do Hitler things, which he hasn't. I don't think he's rounding up the Jews. If he doesn't do that, well, then he starts doing good things and people see the economy is okay. We're not going to extra wars. I don't think we're going to war with North Korea or any of that. Then people are going to be like, wait a minute. They've been screaming this guy's Hitler, but I still have my job. The economy is doing okay. I think house sales this month were the highest in like 15 years or something.
Maybe Hitler's not that bad.
Yeah, right. So then they'll go, Hitler's not that bad. So now Hitler is going to have a comeback and they're going to realize, oh, actually Trump wasn't that bad. Because I agree. Look, the tweets, he doesn't seem particularly bright. I don't know what his moral center is. All of those things. But what has he done? I'm not talking about the tweets.
Right.
What has he done that the average Republican wouldn't have done? Actually, he's made a few things happen. Now, you may not like those things if you're on the left or you're a Democrat, but he's just governed the same crappy way with the pen, the executive action pen that Obama did. And guess what? When Trump's out, then the next guy will reverse all that.
I'm philosophical and with you, and I believe big picture, since you're so much more in charge of your own family, your own group, your own business, your own life, your own taxes, your own health, your own everything, stop outsourcing. Stop looking like, what are you going to do for me, or when are you going to do this, or how are you going to fix that? You get so much more done just sort of focusing on your own internal affairs. All right, should we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Sure, let's do it.
News with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Okay, so remember how Kid Rock was going to run for Senate?
Yes.
Okay, so now he says, I wasn't going to run for Senate. That was just a joke. It was a big hoax. I don't know why everybody's getting bent out of shape. I'm never going to do that. Well, it's not that much of a laughing matter now because there's a group out there that plans to sue him over this. So Common Cause has filed papers a few months back saying that Kid Rock has broken campaign laws by collecting money for his run through merchandise sales and other methods, even though he hadn't officially declared himself a candidate. Paul S. Ryan, he's the lawyer for the group, told Billboard, quote, "That doesn't mean our action's going to go away. He's not forgiven for his campaign finance violations simply because he dropped out of the race."
Is he selling a shirt of him like standing on top of a steamroller going through Washington saying Kid Rock for president at his concerts?
Oh, I hope so.
I just mean, like, is that what we're talking about, or is he actually shaking the tambourine and getting people to
I think it was t-shirts like Kid Rock 2018.
It was at his concerts, it was on his website, that sort of thing.
I feel like those are his t-shirts. Yeah. Like, all right.
Well, so he says, the lawyer continues, "Our view is Kid Rock became a federal candidate earlier this year. Someone who is already something can't announce they're not." As proof that Rock's run was no hoax, Ryan pointed out on the website, it said, "It's not a hoax. It's a strategy and a marketing 101 campaign." There's some shirts. Kid Rock for U.S. Senate, Kid Rock 18. So there you go.
All right.
"You never met a politician quite like me," it says.
Yeah.
The shirts are kind of direct to the point.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. All right.
I thought it was going to be a little Eminem versus Kid Rock, but I guess that's not going to happen now. So Kevin Sorbo was on the show Tuesday, yeah, and we had a really interesting conversation with him, and turns out a bunch of news outlets picked it up. Hollywood Reporter, AV Club, Fox News, New York Daily News, Perez Hilton, E! News. So he alleged on this show that the late Italian designer Gianni Versace made unwanted sexual advances at him while he was working at a model. I'm sure you remember. He said, he made the claim on this show during a conversation about the multitude of women who have accused producer Harvey Weinstein of sexual harassment. I think he said he was invited to parties with a lot of people. Then he was invited to little small group events. Then it was just a one-on-one with Mr. Versace.
It's kind of
man, you were a men's man.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting ploy, which is you invite the guy to your house with 75 other people, and then at some point you invite him back and there's 25 people.
And eventually, later,
just invite his dick over. Like, no, Kevin, just dick and balls. You can, no.
The mail slot's over there.
Go out with your lady friends. Just leave me the, So, yeah, Versace narrowed it down to just the two of them.
Just Kevin.
He got the rose?
So Sorbo later told Hollywood Reporter that he remained friends with Versace. He said, "He booked me for his fashion shows, but I never got his campaign. But I knew the game, just like I know the game of Hollywood. Casting couches have always been around. I don't play that game, nor do I care to."
Yes.
You know what's interesting? What you read is that he alleged it happened and he claimed it happened. Twice it sort of made the, like, well, this is what he says. Why are we, whether it's a man or a woman, and in this case, in the rare case that it's a man, why is it, well, they claim. It's like, no, clearly, why would he lie?
It would be a little
why
hard would to anyone confirm lie about now. This?
Well, also,
I understand
it's not
one of a thousand people even, like, trying to get someone, but
I'm not an English major, but it's not. Kevin Sorbo doesn't claim it. It's what Kevin Sorbo said.
Yeah.
Right.
So he can just go, Kevin said that Versace. It still doesn't make it true, but it is what he said. This thing it claimed or allegedly or all this sort of stuff.
It's a very subtle discrediting of the witness or of the report.
Yes.
Like, this is a classic problem with women coming forward and, you know, talking about they
dismissal.
Were raped or whatever. Yeah, it's like, well, she says, like, yes, she says it. It probably happened. In fact, it's a great chance that it happened.
It's a pretty high level.
In this case, it's a guy.
Pretty high level fashion person to be molested by. I was molested by a salesman at Skechers once.
Wow.
At the Skechers store in the mall.
Was really? Wow. What happened?
No, not really. I thought that was just
I'm wearing them now. I was going to kick them off and have my sister burn them.
I was just saying that for next time I come on, you can use that as my intro.
Okay.
He was molested by a Skechers salesman at the mall.
He asked if you dressed to the left or right and you were only buying shoes. Understood.
He's blessed if there's a shoe salesman asking how he dresses.
Well, on Monday, Cosmopolitan magazine published an article warning parents that dressing up their white children like non-white Disney characters.
There
like
we go.
Moana or Tiana from Prince.
By the way, Cosmopolitan arbiters of morality.
Oh, yes.
Like they you a Cosmopolitan
social norms, couths.
You take heroin addicts and put them in outfits and take pictures of them until they turn 23, and then you throw them over to Harvey Weinstein to have fun.
Yeah.
Why do we need to listen to you?
Good point.
What do you? What have you done?
the people agree with you. They said that dressing these children like this will not be tolerated, according to the rap. This
like
is what
that
they said.
One too. Not tolerated. Yep. What does that mean? Not tolerated. So if I throw a party and my kid dresses up like Moana, it's not tolerated by whom?
If Natalia's obsessed with Moana, loves the movie, sings the songs, is she not celebrating that whole? Like she would.
Of course, she's not celebrating.
She would not
that.
Know the island heritage, right. For example, as well, if she wasn't obsessed with the movie.
Well, but also, we had a caller on this show this time last year, I believe, who said, I am a Pacific Islander. Do you know how excited I was, my family was, that we were finally represented on the shelves, and now somebody else said, we can't have this costume?
It's a
to
total
our culture?
Jip-a-roo, because if you grow up and it's a lot of Snow Whites and a lot of Cinderellas and you're the Islander girl and you finally get one after you, the you've arrived moment is seeing people dressing up like that.
Now I know this is the clean show because Jip-a-roo.
Jip-a-roo.
but real quick, you know, my niece who's 4 years old, she loves Moana. She stayed with us for a week. She watched that thing like 800 times. She's dark skinned. She's very dark skin. She's white, but her mom is very dark skinned. And think how insane it would be for my sister-in-law to have to, if my niece was like, you know, mommy, I want to wear a Moana costume, for my sister-in-law to have to be like, actually, that's cultural appropriation. Like, it's
actually. She's a hero.
This is how you start instilling racism in their little brains. That's the problem.
I just don't know what's in it for, continue with
them. This is what they wrote. I don't like it. Think about using this Halloween as an opportunity to teach your kids about the importance of cultural sensitivity. If your Caucasian son or daughter doesn't get to be exactly what they wanted for Halloween, encourage them to take a step back and realize that they're awash. They're awash in privileges that the real Moanas and Tianas of the world likely have never seen because the world is full of racist a-holes. So the internet disagreed. Most people disagreed, blasting the publication for this cultural finger wagging. The tweets were endless. A couple were.
If you had read that without telling us where it was from, I would have guessed The Onion.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds absurd.
One of the tweets I picked out just because it seemed to sort of cover all the bases. Kids can't dress as Moana for Halloween. We've lost our effing minds.
We have. And they've jumped the shark. And the best, this notion of like you have to sit down and have conversations with your kids about everything.
Well,
like,
there were washing reasons.
Kids get
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
What about all these celebs that are always tweeting all day long what their kids said about Trump? And it's always like, and Trump, you know, it's like some insane thing about Congress. And I asked my 5-year-old nephew, I was like, what do you think of Donald Trump? He was like, he has a red tie and bad hair. I was like, oh.
That's the thought.
That's what a kid says, not, oh, he doing too many executive actions and I'm going to have to leave the country.
I don't know this thing about freaking out and indoctrinating. It's a weird, it's a weird impulse. So I experienced it as a kid. I remember lots of my mom was very hard left and lots of like discussions about things I needed to know at age 9 that I just didn't need to know. And it was like, I remember it kind of ruined my childhood because it's like I had to think about, you know, indigenous people and we raped the land and what we did to the slaves and how bad we were and the microwave's going to poison your brain and blah, blah, blah. And I just remember thinking like the worst thing you can do to your kids is bum them out. Actually, worst thing you can do is freak them out. And the second is bum them out. Just let them know you're here. We're having a good time. We're living in a good place. Not everyone is the best, but you're not going to run into many of those people. You're going to run into far many more good people. And we're going to kick some ass. Like, this was my Glenn Washington thing. Like, stop telling your kids they're scared. You need to be scared. And these things where it's like, well, you got to be realistic. Realistic. So, like, you're saying, like, if the kid's walking to school and La Cunada, and all of a sudden they've stumbled into a Klan rally and they need to know how to handle themselves. Like, what do you mean realistic? Like, where are they? What are they? Well, they got to know about cops. You know, they got to know. It's like, they got to know just whatever the cop tells them to do. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Here you go.
I've only been to La Cunada once, so unless it's really changed since I've been
it's Klan country. Yes. All right. Let me give a little love to Tommy John, man. Big news. Brand new, revolutionary, wallet-friendly underwear fabric called Go Anywhere. It's the perfect passport to the Tommy John world. This stuff is just the best. A lot of people are kind of jumping on the Tommy John bandwagon, trying to do their own version of it, but Tommy John's still the tip of the spear. And speaking of the spear, they got the easy quick draw fly, by the way. It's horizontal. It's not vertical. It's a lot easier. All this amazing innovations, and it's got the contour pouch. It's no wedgie guaranteed. Engineered from a multi-directional stretch fabric. It's anti-odor, moisture wicking, never rides up the leg. Just the best. And you feel like $1 million, and it only costs about $10. I mean, it's inexpensive considering what's out there. Tommy John, they know it's difficult to try something new. So your first pair is covered by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. These are the best. We all wear them here. Simply the best. It's Tommy John. Dawson.
Go to TommyJohn.com now to check out the complete line of Go Anywhere underwear, shirts, and socks. Use code Adam and save 20% on your first order. That's TommyJohn.com, code Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com, code Adam.
All right. One more, Gina Grad.
All right. There's no chance that Dr. Drew's going to swing by today, correct?
No. Okay. He was here all day yesterday.
So a little question about the brain staying alive after you die that maybe we can get into it when he's back. So here's one. A new app was designed to move any nude pictures you might have on your camera to a password-protected vault. The app is called Nude. It uses artificial intelligence to scan through your photos and pull out any sensitive images it can find. After storing it in the app behind a password, it then deletes the image off of your camera roll and gets rid of any backups that might have drifted to the iCloud or to Flickr or Google. So you could just not take nude pics, or you could get this app.
Yes, that sounds safe. I'm sure that will not be hacked into. This is going to be the thing that saves us all.
Is it started by two frat boys?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is it just me, or have we gone way too long without a nice celebrity sex tape or something going on out there? Are celebrities getting more tech savvy? I feel like
probably
back in the day, it just felt like it would be a great idea. Mm-hmm. As soon as they put the camera in the phone or the movie camera, they were able to film in the phone. Everyone went, oh, this is going to be great. Let's film ourselves having sex. And there was no tech savvy. Don't you feel like the new kids are getting coached up? They're smarter.
Yeah.
They're more savvy. They're not going to let, they don't know, like, I'm going to send this to my friend and I hit reply all or whatever's going on.
We're moving past that sweet spot where people who are too old to know the technology now are too old to be having sex on camera, and people who are young enough to know the technology well, like know their phones and the passwords,
right,
are moving into the prime.
But sex finds a way.
Yeah.
So we need to.
I love that Lifetime movie.
Yeah. We need to find. Now we're going to get into like drone sex or something where somebody drops a.
Oh, God. Yes.
Right.
Right into your window.
Yeah. Like something, because there's not been a big drop in a while, right? I mean, there's been little smatterings of, you know, side boob in the mirror or whatever, but I'm talking about a good old fashioned. There's been a little Aaron Andrews kind of stuff, but I'm talking about good old fashioned sex tape. Tommy Lee on a houseboat, steering with his dick. Sex tape.
But nothing could excite us anymore. We're past the point. What could possibly
I'd like to see him try, though, Dave.
No, I'm with that. That's fair.
I feel like the Jennifer Lawrence pictures, I think that legitimately freaked out women in Hollywood. She's an every girl. She's, you know, the girl next door. She's everybody's friend. And I think people thought, if that can happen to her, that can happen to me.
I think it's a combination of that and the way that the law enforcement went after the people who did that.
I think
that there may still be leaks, but the nerds and the hackers are keeping it to themselves or keeping it within their community as opposed to releasing it for us.
Don't be so selfish, nerds.
I think it would have to be something like a deformity. Like, it would have to be like a double vagina or the three-boobed woman from Total Recall, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, either way, I'd like to see something in that department, because as of, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I thought we're on pace for me to like see almost every starlet naked, and we've really dropped the ball lately. Yeah. Now let's pick it up now. Thank you. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
You're a Jew. You got to learn how to run and don't get on trains.
Gina. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Geico, man. Everyone's got the to-do list. You drop off the dry cleaning, pick up the milk. How about you add this? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to go anywhere, drop anything off, or pick anything up. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Get that extra money. Put it in your pocket. Why not? It's Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Tomorrow night, us, Bakersfield, Tembler Brewing Co., Jay Moore's going to be up on stage with us. Always brings it on stage. Then Oxnard Levity Live, November 12th. That's with Doug Benson. The aforementioned Mean Dennis Prager, November 29th, Brooklyn, New York at the King's Theater. You go to amcroll.com, you find out where everybody is. Pizza Port Hoptoberfest coming up, and that's in San Clemente.
Ooh, don't miss that.
Do not miss Great that. Brewery. That is this Saturday. Info at pizzaport.com. So just go to amcroll.com and find out what you want to find, when you want to find it. I want to thank Dave Rubin for coming in here. The Rubin Report. Subscribe to get the weekly videos. Search the Rubin Report on YouTube, Facebook, The Rubin Report, and tweet him at Rubin Report. Jeff Cesario and RJ Bell. And until next time, it's Sam Kroll for them three. Gina Grad, Paul Ryan, say mahalo. We're having a hot dog party at home.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and subscribe to Take a Knee. You're going to get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. That's right. Just click the link at adamcarolla.com. Tickets on everything, including the Bakersfield show on Friday night. Go to adamcarolla.com.